Today's podcast is brought to you by Dell Expert Network. If you are a Dell Expert Network member, you can qualify to get double rewards through July 31st, 2022 on all servers that include a Microsoft Standard or Data Center operating system and 5+ client access licenses if your order includes Microsoft Standard or Data Center operating system and 5+ CALs. You can learn more or join the Dell Expert Network at www.dell.com/DEN contest.
You're entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
Well, it's not every day that you get to talk to one of the big four CEOs. I'm talking about the big four MSP platform companies. Or should we say big three now? We are very privileged to have on a guest that I've actually known for a long time and have followed the company that he's now chief executive officer for at least 20 years. And I'm very happy to have onto the program Mr. Fred Vacola, CEO of Kaseya. Fred, welcome to the program.
Great. Thanks, Charles. And thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
You know, I think the last time we spoke in person was at the Kaseya event in Southern California at a resort, and you were maybe a month or weeks maybe on the job. I don't know if you remember that, but you had just started, and that was like you were entering some really important shoes, and you've been busy for that period of time.
Yeah, Charles, I do remember it. It was our Connect IT. That's the our annual conference. We just finished ours in Vegas at a great show at about 3,200 people there this year, 3,200 MSPs. And the one in San Diego, that was a couple months after I started. And I think we were lucky if we clawed and scratched our way to like 200 MSPs there. And it was a fun time. And I think you're right. You know, when I took over Kaseya, as we've said many times over the years, Kaseya was in a tough spot. You know, sometimes I've used the word, it was a steaming pile of doo-doo, but instead of doo-doo, I use a four-letter word. And as my people tell me, now that I'm becoming a mature adult, I should probably stop cursing. It's kind of hard to do that. But no, Kaseya was in a tough spot. And as you said, we've spent a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of effort trying to get ourselves back in a position where we can be, you know, proud of our company and proud of serving MSPs around the world.
Well, I remember when we spoke, you said to me, you know, and I won't repeat the number, but you gave me a revenue goal at that time, and I thought to myself, man, this is aggressive, and I'm pretty sure you've hit that goal and surpassed it, but you've done a lot. I mean, say what you will about where Kaseya was at that time, but when you came in, you knew you had a vision. You had a mandate definitely from the MSPs on board. And I would say, do you feel like you've hit that mark?
I think that we've only begun to scratch the surface. And let me tell you what I mean by that. So one of the reasons that I took the job at Kaseya, you know, all those years ago. So I started having conversations with Mike Triplett, who's the senior partner at Insight Venture Partners, about 8 years ago. And I've known Mike for a while. We've been, you know, in the IT and security space for a long time. We've crossed paths numerous times. And we had this vision for a true all-in-one platform. And we happen to call it IT Complete. And Kaseya, you know, 7+ years ago, 8 years ago, there, Kaseya was not that, but it had the bones to do it. You know, had the core foundation. It had a very, very strong RMM capability, which is like the kind of the bones or the guts of IT and security management, and build around it. And I answer the question scratching the surface because we've made progress, we've gotten better, but we have a long way to go as a company. Not just getting better, but this market is exploding. Small to mid-sized businesses around the world are spending more on tech than ever, and MSPs are the ones delivering it. We're going to see in the next 7 to 8 years, small internal IT shops. You know, the large law firm that has 500 employees and 6 IT people, or the small hospital that has 3 IT people. We're going to see a big phase of co-managed, which will then turn to fully managed for what was previously not the domain of MSPs. And that's going to be generation 3 of the MSP revolution. And I think that we're positioning ourselves well for it. So we've got a long way to go. We still got a lot of things to do better, but it's been a fun ride so far.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with you. I think the market's red hot. I think there's a lot. I mean, the MSPs can do a lot better on a lot of things. Who can't? My first question, and I know the reason why you're here. My apologies for asking it this way. I don't want to make it sound like this, but when the news broke, my first instinct was, why Datto? It didn't click to me immediately. And I thought, what do they have that Kaseya doesn't have? And some MSPs that I talked to, you know, mimic the same thing and said, well, I have that same thing. That's my question. Why Datto? And maybe could you walk us through the thought process of that deal?
Yeah. Happy to answer. And Charles and for your audience, you can ask me anything. You never have to apologize. I can always say no, but that's cool. Now it's transparency is cool. So Datto, it's a great company. Datto's financial performance wasn't great. So when a company's not financially performing well, and you think the assets they have are great, that's when you want to buy them. So strategically, what we get with Datto is awesome products. Datto is the leader in continuity solutions, backup solutions, whatever phrase you want to use, for the MSP market, by far. Datto has tremendous networking gear products, routers, switches, access points. So they didn't have that. Kaseya's got a big backup business. The majority of our backup business is in small internal IT shops. About 95% of it are in small internal IT shops, opposed to MSPs to deliver it for small businesses that don't have IT, like Datto does.
Right.
On the PSA side, Datto has a great franchise, or now I should say Kaseya has a great franchise, but Datto had a great franchise in the Autotask platform, phenomenal technology for a certain type of maturity level MSP, which happens to be a different maturity level MSP then Kaseya serves with its PSA, which is called BMS. And then on the RMM side, the two RMMs, Kaseya RMM, Datto RMM, are very complementary. Datto RMM serves a segment of the market that Kaseya RMM, Kaseya and Datto did not see each other in very many competitive transactions. So the overlap of products is minimal. In a lot of cases, non-existent, as I mentioned, the networking gear. So the product strategy is great. Datto has a really strong engineering culture, very strong. You know, Austin was the founder. We all know Austin. He's an engineer. He's an engineer's engineer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Really, and I mean that in a complimentary way. He's super, super capable dude that way. I actually talked to him yesterday. And they hired a good, strong core group of engineers and engineering types in the company. And while no one spends $6 billion for an acquihire, obviously, but it takes like a generation, a company generation, to get that type of engineering DNA. Datto's got a great customer base, great employee base, a lot of reasons. It just makes all the sense in the world for us to buy it. And that's why we did it.
I had never thought about that. I mean, everyone knows that Autotask was part of that crew. And I guess, if you looked at that as a legacy, platform that would really be beneficial to the Kaseya MSP base. I didn't really know that about your backup. So that also makes sense on the financial side. And I don't want to speak ill of Austin. I interviewed him a long time ago, pre-IPO. Do you think that their IPO kind of challenged them as an organization? Was that why they were underperforming you know, can you speak to that?
I don't like using the words. So Austin's been out of Datto for what, 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, a while. Yeah.
Tim Weller was the one who was leading the execution over the last, you know, 4+ years. So, you know, Austin hasn't been CEO in a while, but I think, look, hindsight is always 2020. Austin decided to sell the business to Vista. 4 or 5 years ago, 6 years ago, whenever that deal was done, I don't even remember.
Yeah.
When they merged, they put it together with Autotask. And you know, Austin was an entrepreneur. He built he started from his mom's basement. That story is actually true. You know, a lot of people make up stories for drama. That story is true. He built this thing out of his basement, and then he decided to sell to Vista instead of, you know, continuing to run his own business and grow it. So once institutional or professional money, if you will, comes onto the cap table, things can change. And I think, you know, Austin left, you know, shortly thereafter after Vista made the acquisition. I think that, you know, Tim and Vista decided to go public. And when you look at Datto's performance as a publicly traded company, stock price didn't do very well. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean the company wasn't growing and kicking ass. It means that the markets, for whatever reason, didn't necessarily put the valuation onto Datto that, you know, that a lot of people thought. Being public as a company is hard. You know, I'm sure if you get Tim on your show, he'll tell you there's it puts a burden on a company to be public. And that burden, or call it the IPO tax, right? There's benefits for being public, but there's a big burden on it. And that burden sucks up resources. And those resources should be building cool, great products for your customers. Those resources should be supporting and servicing your customers. And those resources should be generating more revenue with your customers. And, you know, when you're public, a portion of your resource pool can't be used to make the business better. And I think at the time when Datto went public, I would bet, you know, hindsight again, it's always 2020, Charles. I'd venture to say that those resources would have been better spent making the business better than making it a public company. And, you know, it's just a hard choice that a lot of people have to make.
I get it. And that's a fair explanation. So now Kaseya, you own Datto. It's private. It's a, you know, reverse IPO. So you guys, obviously don't want to make the same mistake that you saw happen. And so here's the question. The MSPs that I'm talking to, they want to know what's next. What do we expect? Are they going to be able to access the legacy Autotask? Are they going to access the legacy Kaseya PSA? Yep. Are you going to keep like multiple sets of products around? Or are you going to fold them in?
Great question. I've stated this many times, and you know, your viewers or listeners, please hold us accountable. We're saying this everywhere and anywhere we can, to be very, very clear. We are going to support and increase the investment in. There's a big difference. Supporting something is different than increasing investment, right?
Right.
Increasing investment means support plus putting more and more, you know, money, people, resource into it. Every technology in the company, period. So what that means is Kaseya will have 2 RMMs, 2 PSAs, 2 backup solutions. Again, they go to different markets, but period. And let me give it an explanation for that. It's all about, you know, it's all math, right? As someone once told me, there was a movie about it too. Like, math is the ultimate equalizer. There was a movie with John Travolta. He was like an angel or something. Anyway, so thought about that. So it would cost, we would save. So the combined company next year will do around, you know, the next 12 months, about 2 billion of ARR, 2 billion. And we'll probably make $500 to $700 million on that, right? Of EBITDA. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty big company. So if we were to say, we're going to pick 1 or 2 products, like let's say we're going to pick 1 RMM or 1 PSA as an example, if we did that across all the categories, we would save between $20 and $25 million a year.
In development and support costs?
Yeah, like R&D, development, support, sure. Product marketing, all the different things. And $25 million a year is no, I don't care if you're Elon Musk, that's a lot of money. Here's what would happen. We would piss off 15,000 of our 45,000 customers around the world if we did that. Because we'd be telling them, you know, we want you to trust us as a vendor. However, we're going to discontinue the product that you've been using for years and love, make you replace it with another one, and we'll never do that again. You know what I mean? Like that is the dumbest thing we could do. That would cost us hundreds of millions of dollars if we did that. So we are not doing it. We are signing contracts with customers committing that we're not doing that.
Interesting.
And yeah, I mean, because it's in our interest to do it. You know, it's not, I mean, yes, we like to think we're nice guys and gals and, you know, we love our customers because our customers pay our bills and they're the reason that we exist, but it's in our self-interest to do that. So the strategy is every single technology, every product that Kaseya has is or will be fully integrated into our platform called IT Complete. So what that means is every module will be commercially integrated. One of the problems that we solve, Charles, with our platform is the typical MSP uses 17 different pieces of software and hardware kit to deliver their service for their customers. 17. That's a lot. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of invoices, a lot of bills, it's a lot. So we provide all of that in one platform. Datto makes our platform more complete. So it's complete and it's commercially integrated. One bill, one invoice, one support organization, like 111. It's also technically integrated at a workflow level. So what that means is instead of just doing multi-vendor API integrations where you share a little bit of data and you get a little bit of value, because we own all of the kit, we're developing it in the same application framework. We're injecting ourselves into the same database. So the integrations that come from all the Datto products and Kaseya products are very deep and they're embedded at a workflow level. So technicians get incredibly more efficient. The third thing we're doing is relatively new. So one of the things that we announced at our customer conference is our intelligence engine that we built into our platform, IT Complete. It's called the Cooper Intelligence Engine. It's named after my dog, whose name is Cooper.
Nice.
Right? now it is, right? We'll show you the logos and I can offline, I'll tell you all kinds of stories about Coops. But the Cooper Intelligence Engine, what it does is very simple, but very important. I mentioned before that the typical vendor, our typical MSP, works with 17 different pieces of kit, right? Mm-hmm. So every software vendor does between 3 and 12 releases a year. Every time there's a release, there's new cool features that the end user wants to use. So let's say the average software company does 10 releases a year and there's 10 new features in each release. That's 100 new features a year per software vendor. MSP has 17 of them. That's 1,700 new cool things that they have to consume and use. There's no way they're going to do it.
Yeah.
It's impossible. So, and it's a problem that's been going on in software forever. So what Cooper does, Cooper is watching how every Kaseya customer is using our technology. And if someone's not using a feature that can add a lot of value, Cooper gives them a heads up and says, hey, you know, Mr. or Mrs. User, you might want to use this. It'll provide value for you. And he's looking at how every Kaseya customer around the world uses all of our kit, and he's giving recommendations to people. And to be very clear, it's not the annoying Microsoft Clippy. Remember that from like 10 years ago?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
15 years ago? No way is Cooper going to let my dog do that. But it's super important. It's free. It's included in all of our platforms. And as we integrate the Datto technology into our platform, same thing. So we want our platform. It's complete, commercially integrated, That's why we bought Datto. It's technically integrated to make the technicians more efficient. That's why we bought Datto. It's intelligent from Cooper. And then finally, we charge one third less than any competitor for any module. So if you're looking to buy a patching module, you get patching from Kaseya. It's one third less than if you go to Avante or someone else standalone. If you want, you know, whatever it may be. And we're going to lower, we've announced, we are lowering on average the price on the Datto products by 15% as well.
Interesting.
So that's kind of why we bought Datto. And we want to make the Kaseya MSPs the most successful and the most profitable. And that's why we do it.
So I appreciate that, Fred. I think lowering prices, I mean, especially in hyperinflationary times like these, MSPs will appreciate that. My another question, it's a variation of what I've asked you before, which is,
yeah,
Kaseya has been around for so long. I can't help but think that there are incredible challenges to being a legacy platform. Like, I remember when you guys were like the desktop management platform, like in early 2000s, like Kaseya was it, right? And you bundled it with another, you know, RMM platform at the time, and that was the go-to MSP configuration. Fast forward to today, you've got a much bigger tool belt, a lot more variety of tools. How does that stack up in terms of, you know, what are your challenges and benefits of being that type of a legacy MSP platform company?
So the word legacy, it's interesting. So for the MSPs that are listening, for those of you that have been like software engineers as well as IT and infrastructure and security engineers, the word legacy doesn't really, it only applies if you don't re-architect your platform.
I didn't mean that in a bad way, Fred. You know, I mean, maybe I should come up with a different word. Seasoned? No, that's not that good. Well, you know what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. There's two things that come with that. One is technology. So when I came on board to Kaseya, we spent 3 years on a massive modernization product. We rewrote a lot of the platform. We've acquired 14 companies. Every company we've acquired is new, modern, built for cloud technology. So a big part of how we architect our platforms, a big part of how we care and feed our software architecture and strategy process is a continuous architect and re-architect enablement program, right? So if you were using the Kaseya product, the RMM module of Kaseya of 15 years ago, there's very little of that code in the product still. And it's the same with Datto. I mean, Datto's BCDR engine was built, the original one, 12 years ago. It's been rebuilt. Austin's team did a great job re-engineering it. It's, you know, same with most products that you'll find out there. That's how they work. If they don't, they die. You know, that's a common mistake a lot of software companies will do. They'll just bleed out their technology for as long as they can. Computer Associates was famous for that, right?
Yeah.
Back in the 90s and 2000s. So, you know, it's interesting. And when you think about Kaseya, of the original RMM company that was Kaseya, that Gerald Blackie founded, right? Back when Arnie Bellini founded ConnectWise and Gerald Blackie founded Kaseya and the beginning of
the old school
modern MSP world.
Yeah.
Of our executive leadership team of 100 people, about 5 of them are from the original RMM company. You know, so we're $2 billion business. It's very different than it was then. But I think that the bones of it are similar. The culture of Kaseya is about two things. And this applies to Datto as well. It's about customer centricity. That does not mean the customer is always right. What it means is every single thing every Kaseyan does, whether you're in PR, if you're in sales, if you're in R&D, if you're in accounting, everything you do, the customer has to be at the forefront of what you're doing, because ultimately it's going to impact the customer. And customers pay our bills, period. The second Kaseya forgets that, that's what happened when I took over. For about 18 months, company lost its way. They forgot the respect that the MSPs deserve as the people who allow us to work. The MSPs are what allow companies like Kaseya to exist, because they give us the opportunity by purchasing our products to deliver IT and security to their customers. And the second that isn't at the forefront of everyone's mind, not just salespeople, everyone's mind, then that's a problem. So our culture is all about customer centricity. And the Datto culture is very similar. You know, one of the things that Datto is great at is customer centricity, customer success, putting the customer first. And again, that doesn't mean that the customer is always right. You know, I mean, we argue and debate with customers all the time, just like every other business does.
Yeah.
But hopefully the way that everyone thinks, they're thinking with the customer in mind in every decision that we do. And that leads to the second part of the culture, which is employee centricity. And that's a hot topic, because employee centricity doesn't mean, you know, people don't have to work. They can work a 2-hour day. They can show up in the office and just party all day and play ping pong. And absolutely the opposite. I don't recall where I came across this study. I don't know if it was a Harvard Business Case study or came across it from somewhere, but I think the number is like 99.9% of decisions that companies make are done by individual contributors and line level managers. I mean, a CEO makes a big decision, but the volume of decisions that impact customers are done by individual contributors and line level managers. What color do we make the invoice? That's a decision. Where do we put, you know, do I end a period or a comma at the end of the statement? You know, everything are decisions.
Yeah.
So the employees of a company are, especially the individual contributors and line level managers, are the ones that deliver on the promise of customer centricity more than anyone. And at Kaseya, we are very employee centric in terms of providing massive professional resources for our employees, investing in our employees with training, investing in our employees to make them better at their jobs. Over 90% of the managers, directors, and VPs at Kaseya were internal promotions, providing opportunity, very strong career path, education, simply because it's our most important resource and they're the people who are impacting the customer the most. And you know, I think Datto shares a lot of them. You know, Datto's culture was about employing the right kinds of people that are customer committed, that are career committed, and that want to drive results for the customers. So that's another reason as to why, you know, I think why we bought Datto from that perspective.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. And it's a good segue. You know, the focus on the MSPs is what we spend a lot of time on, obviously. And I would be not doing my job if I didn't ask. And I want to be respectful, because I know that there's a lot of, that you can't talk about. But the cyber event of last year, I know a lot's been written about it. I know you've talked a lot about it. I would, and my personal views, I've made it very clear, and I'll say it for your benefit more than anyone else's, which is I believe that the current philosophy by some, I don't know how many are out there, that somehow MSPs are inherently risky is just flat wrong. I mean, I equate it to the MSPs are the bank guards guarding what's most valuable for all of us in the community, and they are not what's risky. It's the bad people who are wanting to get at it that create that risk. And that's just my personal take and my perspective. What lessons learned did you learn from last year's events that you would mind sharing with the listeners?
So Charles, I wish we had 7 hours, because I learned so much. You know,
I imagine.
You know, I learned so many lessons from so many people. First off, we got a cool community. So when it happened, you know, we didn't own Datto then, obviously. Mm-hmm. Datto reached out, Rob Ray reached out, hey, Fred, can we be helpful? They're a competitor, right? They were a competitor then. And Rob reached out. I've known Rob a while. Hey, Fred, listen, you guys need any help? And it wasn't like a, it wasn't being a jerk the way he said it. He wasn't being condescending. He's like, can we be helpful? A lot of MSPs, people like Thrive Networks, they have really good security groups. And a lot of MSPs, logically others that are very sophisticated, larger MSPs, Insight out in California.
Yeah.
They're like, can we help? That's cool. When things are tough, I always say to people, everyone's your friend when things are going well. When you get adversity, the people that stick around are the people you want in your life.
Ain't that the truth?
You know, and hopefully you never have to get that test given to you because you never have adversity, but that's a part of humanity. So learn that. I also learned that there are bad people. Let me take a step back. Another lesson I learned, and I'll tell every MSP on this call, and I have to tell everyone this, the second anything happens, call the FBI. That second. That was a tactical lesson. The resources that the FBI and Homeland and other agencies that, you know, probably not appropriate to talk about right now.
Sure. I
unbelievable. I'm not exaggerating. It's like James Bond kind of shit. It's super neat. But you know, I learned from talking to the FBI, a lot of people when they get hit with some kind of like cyber issue, they're hesitant to call the FBI because they don't want the FBI to come in and start sniffing around saying, do you have all your taxes in order or your labor in order? Like these folks at the FBI and their cyber group are so effing professional and they care. They want to catch these scumbags that do this stuff. And they want to help. Call them right away. By the way, for those of you who don't know, the FBI with other agencies, they caught the people who did this. I don't know if that's, everyone knows that.
I didn't hear that. DOJ. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Millie, you should send over to Charles the videos of the head of DOJ and Interpol, and they caught them.
Nice.
And they said some nice things about Kaseya, which is a great commercial for Kaseya, but yeah, they caught them. And I would encourage everyone to cooperate. We are in this together. If you have to make sacrifices that might impact your business a little bit in order to help the country and to help the world, Kaseya did it, well worth it. You know, we have an obligation to do it. So that was a big lesson. We got a lot of tactical things. Listen, you know, so many people have said Kaseya didn't do anything wrong. If a state sponsored or state tolerated cyber actors after you, they're going to get you. All I can say is Kaseya needs, and will continue to need to always do better. And, you know, it's so embarrassing that this happened to a company that I run because we let a lot of people down because, I mean, there was a very small number of customers that were impacted, but a lot of people felt stress and pain. And our job as a company is to make our customers more profitable, happier, better, not to cause them stress, anxiety, and pain. And you know, it sucked, and I still feel very guilty that we caused that pain on customers. Just have to worry about it. And we spend, you know, we've done so many tactical things to get better, and we'll continue to do it. It's a fight that, unfortunately, the enemy's not in front of you and you can't just go and fight them. You have to just always be fighting in the shadows. And, you know, we'll invest more than what's required and not cut any corners and try to make sure that people are feeling as secure as they can. You know, we were told this was the greatest example of cyber defense in history. And I come back and say, it shouldn't have happened. It's our fault. We own it and we got to get better.
Well, I appreciate that, Fred. If you don't know this, I'll tell you, it might make a difference, may not. But I immediately after that event, I was talking to MSPs and I talked to some Kaseya partners and they said, hey, you know, it's bad. Some stuff is offline, but we're operational. And so I think that that's a good thing for you to hear that not, you know, I mean, it's bad that it happens and I'm not assigning blame at any place other than that the bad actors who were definitively to blame for this. A lot of MSPs I talked to weren't Kaseya partners who were just saying, hey, this impacts us all right? Where, you know, are we going to be next? And I think that there was a sense of shared community out there. So, I mean, I sympathize with what you guys had to go through. And I just think, the perspective out there ought to be a little bit more realistic that we don't want a world without Kaseya. We don't want a world without Kaseya MSP partners, right? That's not what we're going after. And I think that that's always something that I keep in the back of my mind every day.
Yeah, and Charles, you hit the nail on the head, man. The sense of community is cool. It's helpful. Kaseya is we're a pretty big company. We're not Microsoft or, you know, like a real big company, but we're right around 5,000 people now. And, you know, hopefully we can make the world better, right? We employ lots of people. We have customers that we take care of, and we're hopefully a net positive in the world. I think we are. We're going to hire 5,000 more people in the next 24 months. If we can find them, right? Like everyone's trying to.
Right.
Or maybe 30 months, depending, you know, on the numbers. But one of the things that we kind of look at, like, one of the realities of the world is 100% of cybercrime is monetized by anonymous currencies. Think about that.
Yeah.
100% of it. And when I think about the things that can really screw up humanity, you know, a meteor can take out the planet, solar flares can take out all the electronics, and, you know, plagues, and these are all horrible things that are for the most part out of our control, right? Cybercrime is a man-created issue. We are so dependent upon technology that without it, you'd see starvation within weeks, you know, with supply chain. I mean, there's so many things. And if anonymous currency, so if you think about how law enforcement catches criminals, I always use this example. Most famous American criminal of all time, Al Capone, right? Arguably. And how did they catch Al Capone? It wasn't some big tough guy beating down a door.
IRS.
It was Elliot Ness, who was a nerd. He was an accountant. You know, not that all nerds are accountants, but he was like a nerd, you know, little nerd. And a nerd brought down one of the biggest scumbags in the world. So if we take away law enforcement's ability to follow the money, I mean, we've created like a perfect incentive with these anonymous currencies for bad actors around the world to keep doing it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's something, as I don't have the answers. I'm not a politician. I always say Kaseya doesn't make political or social statements. But we will say that's something that the policymakers really got to figure out. And I think the average person, like my mom, the average person on the street, I don't think they fully understand how dangerous an anarchy of currency can be for a stable world. So something to think about.
I think that's an understatement of the year. And on that, we will have to end. I appreciate you staying a little bit longer than we had scheduled. Fred Vacola, CEO of Kaseya. Fred, it's been too long. Let's not make it another, 10 years before we talk again. You're welcome on the program anytime.
Great. Thank you, Charles. Really appreciate the opportunity.
All right, folks. Until next time.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you are subscribed to the podcast so you will get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.